Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are halfway home on a Monday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. I am Woodsy. That is Paul Reindel, the executive producer. To my left is Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor.
And, did you ever find yourself looking at the YouTube stream and trying to fix your hair?
Yeah, absolutely. I do it a lot. And trying to like get the right coloring and all of that.
The headphones mess up the hair.
Yeah,
it's really hard. It's tough. It's a job hazard.
Yeah, I try to keep my head down so that you don't see my gullet. So that's one of the things I'm constantly looking at.
Head down.
Yeah, head down. Look.
See? Oh, you kind of hide
it. So if I do this.
But if you lean up and stretch out, you can sort of see eliminate the gullet.
The little gobbler. But if you go head down. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, Thanksgiving's not that far away.
It's not. It is not.
I'm hungry for turkey.
That far away. I told you guys when we opened the show, it was really a spectacular weekend. I think for the whole program. You, Darvish, wearing our shirt and his... coming back party, and that was a really cool moment for us. Was wearing the Ben and Wood shirt, it just made my heart swell. And we had a tier one walk off victory, our very first walk off ever, which was amazing. And then get in the car, the Padres walk it off against the Mets, and Edwin Diaz, Timmy Trumpets, as it were. You know, Timmy Trumpets, the great intro song for a great closer. Check it out. No. Yeah. So we took it to him, which was great. But I think out of all of the things that made me squeal this weekend is when I saw the news, and I'd seen this news, it happens every 6 months or so, that one of my favorite bands of all time, the great Oasis, is reuniting.
But you believe it this time.
This time I believe it. And the reason that I do is they tweeted the date of tomorrow, Liam Gallagher and his brother Noel, longtime
8/27/24.
Now again, somebody tweeted earlier, what if it's just Fortnite skins that they're promoting, right? Hey, we got a new box set out. So yeah, you texted me.
Tell me about Oasis. Oh, like, man. What's the story here?
So
I've heard of the band.
Sure.
Obviously.
Yeah. So this is this is kind of cool. What happened to me years ago, 1994. Me and my buddy drive down to the mall to go to Sound Warehouse and look at CDs. Run into a guy I graduated with. I'll never forget it. Guy by the name of Kevin Diaz. And he says, Woodsy. He goes, have you heard of these guys? And he holds up this album. Definitely Maybe. And I go, no. He goes, they're from England. They're all swagger. Good rock and roll. Proper rock and roll band. And I said, all right, yeah, I'll check it out. So I bought it. Didn't listen to it. He goes, by the way, they're here tonight. They're here in Dallas. And I said, yeah, I can't make it tonight. Bro, they played to like 50 people. They were just starting. So I missed that one. And listened to the record. Loved the record. Loved it. And then it followed them ever since. They split up in 2009. Now they're brothers.
This is why, because I don't know the story at all, but I knew that they're brothers. I can see where, friends have a falling out.
Sure.
But they're family.
Yeah, they're family.
Sometimes family's tough. But what happened... that things got so bad, you can't even continue on as a successful band with your brother.
So you've got the songwriter in Noel Gallagher, and he is the architect of the band. Did all the marketing, the album covers. He was the brains of the operation. He would write these songs. They don't sound the same when he sings them. They just don't. And his brother, Liam, doesn't play an instrument. Is just all attitude, all D&B. And he... rubbed him the wrong way for many, many. He's his little brother, right? I mean, you've got kids. My two boys, I'm like, oh my God, do you guys like each other at all? Do you like each other even a little bit? So you're on the road. There's marriages. There's divorces. There's drugs. There's all kinds of stuff. And after a while, Noel goes, I'm done.
So it's jealousy.
They go, well, no, I think it was just like, I'm the talent. I'm going to take the talent away and you're going to disappear. And they've both forged on with really good, successful solo careers. And I've always been a Liam guy.
I was going to ask, was there a split in the fan base?
Oh,
when
yeah.
They broke
oh,
up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And who's.
Yeah,
so you, path, did you follow?
You are a Liam guy.
I'm a Liam
even though
guy.
He's not the one who's writing the songs.
Yeah, he's the attitude. He's the guy that literally does not care about anything. And it's weird. I was actually talking to my therapist about this. I said, you know, my heroes are the ones, all my heroes, the people I look up to musically, literary, whatever guys I admire, they've all had the attitude of, I don't care what you say. Now, I care so much. I care so much. So the people that I look up to are the people with the attitude and the swagger that don't have that. They just don't care. And they're both immensely talented at what they do. Now, they both had good solo careers. I followed them both. I took Bo to see Noel last year. It was amazing. I've seen Liam play with Foo Fighters and Queens of the Stone Age. One of the best shows I've ever been to in my life.
Good God.
They both sound great. They're both writing. Noel's writing great songs. Liam's still singing great songs. He doesn't write all of his own music. For me, man, this band was me and my little brother's band. And so,
do they even go back like to spend Christmas with the families and stuff? Or how bad did it get? Do we know?
It got bad. It got really bad. And they would, you know, Liam's just kind of, they call it in England, they call it taking the piss. He just likes to mess with him. He calls him a potato. Like, he just messes with him. And Noel's this stodgy, like, he lives in a castle. So here's the rumor. Noel Gallagher got divorced. That divorce is going to cost him £20 million. Okay, he's going to lose that. The reported offer for a tour is like $400 million. They're each going to make about £100 million. Sorry, pounds. So he's going to be able to cover his divorce and then some. The thing that bugs me is, have they really reconciled, or are they just doing this for the money?
It doesn't matter.
I guess I don't care, but you want to see
it. £20 million.
Yeah,
that's over $26 million.
Yeah, that's what
pounds are worth more than dollars.
That's what she's going to get in the divorce. And so, yeah, he needs the money. But the rumors have been going for years that they've talked. They talk. Also, the other rumor was that Noel's wife was the one that did not like Liam. And now that Noel's divorced, well, it opens up the lines of communication. So that you can see that happening. That's happened in families before. So for all intents and purposes, man, they should be on the... They should be on the comeback trail, and it's supposed to be announced tomorrow. Now, the rumors I'm hearing, 10 nights at Wembley next year. My 50th is next year. This, for me, is really special. I texted my brother yesterday. So we lived in Chicago together. We had a Gallagher-like fight, fist fight, gnarly. I had tickets for us to go see Oasis. I took a buddy instead. Oh. Broke his heart.
Oh,
and he was, like, devastated.
Monster.
Broke his heart. Oh, I wanted to. That was my goal.
It, yeah.
I wanted to hurt him. And I did. So I texted him yesterday. I sent him the tweet and I said, I owe you one. And I said, for my 50th next year, me and you, England. If they don't tour anywhere else, yeah, we're going to go. And he's like, I'm in. Just like that. Just wrote,
is there any room on the dates?
No. No.
Will you take the equipment and do the show from England?
Cheers, bruv! Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
It doesn't start until like 2 in the afternoon in England, but, so you get that.
But I am absolutely going one way or the other. And I'm just so excited. And if this is not... Last night I had to... Hannah goes, I'm begging you to shut the F up about Oasis. I'm begging you. I go, I can't. You believe this and this. And so it's a huge, huge deal. The tickets are going to be insane. I don't know how I'm going to swing it, but I got DMs out. I got all kinds of
stuff.
I mean,
we know how much you paid to see you two already.
It was exorbitant. But
it
was like
the first shows.
It was like a moment in time. Like I got to go to that. So I didn't regret it for a second. And I won't regret this one either. So I'm just elated that they're back together. I don't care if they make new music. I just want to see them play a 3-hour set and be together and sing all the songs that I love that have meant so much to me.
So Jeff in the chat asks a very interesting question. He says, I wonder what it would take to create an Oasis-like fight between Ben and Woods. What could possibly be so bad that they would break up and not talk for years?
Well, I don't see anything. You're not a fighter. And you're very patient with me, so I don't... And I'm not like a dictator either. So I think there's no dictate. There's no.
You don't think you're like a dictator.
There's no dictatorship in here. There's no dictatorship.
You don't think you like to, like, once you've decided something, that you don't want to make sure that it always happens.
Do I crap?
Has there ever been a situation where you have decided something and then it, we, like, overruled you?
Do I?
Isn't that the definition of a dictatorship in this room? Pauly?
Do I crap on your bad ideas? The answer is yes, I do.
Yes, you do.
But I do it for a reason.
I guess to answer Ben's question, no, we have never talked Woods out of
anything. Anything at all.
Ever.
Just because we go along with it doesn't mean it's not.
I write the songs! Okay?
It's not a dictatorship.
I write the songs!
Just because the peasants are somewhat happy with the situation doesn't make it any less of a dictatorship. Peasants are going along with it. Things are good. You know, the crops are coming in. You know, it's not a cruel and evil dictatorship.
If it weren't for me, we would be interviewing the Aztecs punter right now. Right now at this moment. Right now. I promise you.
Yeah, big game coming up this
Saturday.
The
D-line coordinator, if it were it was left up to Ben, we should do a week where I have no say. You don't. You guys
you
don't
just
tell
show
me.
Up,
I just
show and go.
I'm in. And you plan all of it. Whatever you want to do.
We had 8 days like that. It was called your trip to Hawaii.
That's true. That's fair enough. That's fair enough.
And the shows went off just fine. We missed Holy you. Cow. Absolutely.
So that's the whole gist. But honestly, it really is important to me that they're like brotherly and reconciled. Again, I think it's just going to make the shows that much better if it does end up happening. I just don't know how would I even get tickets to a show in Wembley? Like, I have no British friends or anything like that, but I don't want to buy them secondary market. They're going to be $5,000 each easily. Like, they're going to sell so many tickets.
I mean, that's
tickets.
A big stadium, too.
Well, and think about this, too. Every kid in England, every kid, like, Liam sells out huge venues. Every kid in England, guess what their parents grew up on? Oasis. Guess what they've been hearing in their house for 25 years? Oasis. And so now Oasis get back together. A father gets to take his son. You know, mom gets to take her daughter, whatever. Somebody said it's one of the most culturally significant moments in British history in the last 30 years. That's how crazy this is. So I am I'm so fired up.
And Anthony the Butcher, I am not calling the tier ones the peasants. Paul and I are the peasants.
Yes, yeah, that's what he
and
meant.
And Woods is the lord.
That's what he meant.
The king of the castle.
You guys are the serfs.
Lord
we're
Radio.
The serfs,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Lord Radio.
Woods does have a certain belief of the way things should be done on radio, and you want those things done.
Hear ye, hear ye.
I always get it on Sunday. He always sends me an email with, like, radio tips and techniques yes. every single week.
That's not from me, by the way.
I know, but you forward it to make sure I read it.
To make sure
we
read
from
it.
You.
I'd Could quit. You guys imagine on Sundays if I put together, hey, guys, here's some things you need to work on.
Done. I'm out.
I would like to say that we are the three musketeers, but it's probably not the case. But, I mean, it's not like it's worked or anything, so, I'm not, you know, whatever. They sold a lot of records. We sell a lot of records. That's how it goes. But I'm pretty elated. I'm pretty, pretty elated.
So what's their like, signature song?
They got a bunch, man. Wonderwall.
Wonderwall.
Yeah, Look Back in Anger. Champagne Supernova.
No, I've heard that one,
as
too.
As they say.
Forever.
Live Forever. I mean, Supersonic. Key on down the line. They're an incredible. And I've seen them live a bunch. But this one will be really, really special. So, and for me, it's the brother thing. It's the brother thing, being able to take my bro after I completely, completely robbed him of a really good show.
What if you fork over 10 G's to
and
go
they
to
break
Wembley?
Up?
Well, or then they announce a U.S. tour and they're coming to San Diego or L.A.
You know, I think seeing them in their home country is special. If they announce
Woods
a U.S.
will
tour.
Woods will just see him twice. He has no problem with that.
Honestly, though, if they announce a tour closer to home, I'll go to the one closer to home because Bo wants to go. He really likes him a lot, too. So he was so mad when I told him yesterday, I'm thinking about going with Uncle Brent. He goes, oh, really? Oh. You know what he said? He goes, I'm not wearing my Ben and Woods shirt to school anymore. Yeah, he goes, I don't want people to know. I was like, he's a real tit for tatter, that one. So we'll see how it works out.
I can't imagine, though, a show at Wembley.
I can't either. And where they're from, like, it'd just
my buddy went to the tribute
insane.
Show that the Foo Fighters had
yes,
there.
Which was,
he was from London, and he flew from New York, crossed the pond, went with his dad, and that was like a seven-hour
yeah.
show or
and
whatever.
Guess who opened that show? Liam Gallagher.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was real tight with those guys. So it's going to be... It's going to be a scene over there, but I hope to be a part of it. If you have any tickets, I'll buy them from you. So,
well, Joe Musgrove was quite the champagne supernova on Friday night. We have really not given that performance its due. We will do that when we come back, and then Sammy Levitt's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Still lots to get to here on a Monday edition of Ben and Woods. We'll be right back after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sour 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Floor & Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Floor & Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor & Decor. Floor & Decor, unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Well, we all saw how good Joe Musgrove was on Friday.
Oh,
but the implications for that are what are very exciting. Because we were kind of hoping that Joe Musgrove would come back and, you know, eat some innings and start looking sort of Joe-ish. I did not expect in his third start off the injured list for him to turn in every bit as good as his no-hitter, I would say. I mean, I know he didn't get the no-hitter, but in terms of, like, stuff and command.
Nasty.
Exactly where he wanted to put it, like, every single time. I mean... The mitt did not have to move on Friday night for Joe Musgrove. He was so locked in and so good. It can't help but make you dream a little bit about what a rotation with Dylan Cease, Michael King, Joe Musgrove, and now Yu Darvish set to come back hopefully in the next couple of weeks could look like running up to and into the postseason in October.
Yeah, you know, getting Joe some runs early too was fantastic, but man, you go 7 innings. We had talked to Schilt that day. We said, "Hey, you know," I asked him, "When do the restrictor plates come off the Red Dragon?" You know, and he was basically like, "I mean, it's going to be dependent on how quality it is. You know, if it's quality, we're going to let him go a little bit." 7 innings. He was so
good. He actually didn't increase his pitch count
Correct.
That much. He only had to throw 75 pitches.
It's insane. It's a dream. It's an absolute dream for a fan, for Joe, for AJ, for Schilty, all those guys, for the bullpen, all of it. And just put the wood to the Mets. No problem at all. Manny, nice night. Arise, really nice night.
That home run to lead off the bottom of the first inning? I mean... You don't think Luis Arraez. I mean, he gets a couple of home runs, but usually they're pulled down the line, you know, 360 feet. This one was over 400 feet.
Yeah, dude. Got
to
into
like
it.
A deeper part of the park. I'm going, wow, that is in there? That's actually in there? And especially with the finger and the thumb injury, just good to see that he still has that ability there when he needs to drive the ball. That was exciting.
Spectacular. And no walks, guys. No walks.
9 strikeouts.
Nothing. I mean, look, strikeouts... Get your pitch count up, right? Takes 3 strikes to get a hitter. So, you know, you strike out 9 and you only throw 3 pitches. That's 27 pitches right there. But not every strikeout's 3 pitches. The fact that you're not also coupling that with ball 4, ball 8, you know, ball 12, that it just makes you, you're in the zone.
Blake Snell.
Yeah, it makes you Blake Snell. You're in the zone all night, but they just are flummoxed at the plate. They cannot hit it. And, the way he was spinning it, the way he was locating was, like I said, it was sensual.
We haven't mentioned it yet. How about that play in the top of the 6th, ground ball towards first base?
1-2, reach forward, grounded slowly to the right side. Musgrove slides for it, flips it over to first in time, inning over. Oh, he's doing it all here tonight. Joe Musgrove with one of the best defensive plays you will ever see a pitcher make.
Scoop to Crony.
It was incredible.
Unbelievable.
And then the next night they interviewed me and said, actually wasn't that hard.
They downplayed it.
Bro,
yeah.
Are you kidding?
No, I've had other plays that were like, I know it looked good, but that one wasn't that tough.
The smile on Crony's face, like, you son of a, look at you.
It was interesting, though, the discussion about the instincts between Joe and Jake.
Yes, and it's preordained.
Were required to make that work because... Neither of them knows exactly which one of us is going for it.
They do.
It's right in that no man's land.
Well, they do now.
But
did you hear what they said on the interview the next day? He has told Crony, if it's over there, you hold. I will go get it. He's told him. So they know now. Like, Crony now knows, all right, Joe's on the bump. He's athletic as hell. He loves to go for these. I need to hold my position. Because nothing would have been worse than both of those guys going, both running for the ball. I mean, it's who hit it? Lindor? Yeah, I mean, Lindor's on. If they're both going for that ball, he's on. So that's one of those things, like, it doesn't show up. You don't know about it unless you ask. But that's something that has been preordained. When it's over here, Crony, you hold. I'll go get it. Unless it's right at you, I'm going to go get it. Which I think is one of the cool little nuances of baseball.
Another deposit into the Higgy Bank in the second inning. Kyle Higashioka, we haven't really talked about him a lot. Jerickson Profar has a new career high with 21 home runs. Higashioka passed that long ago. 10 was his career high. He's at 15 now and continues to just absolutely be his best version of Kyle Higashioka
that there's ever been.
After he really had a very slow start. Remember how struggling he was in the first month and a half of the season? But once he's been locked in, he's been every bit as productive of a catcher behind the plate, at the plate. You know, he's got slug, and when he gets a hold of it, it's probably either going to be a home run or it's going to be foul by 8 feet and just miss being a home run.
We need to get man right here in our studio a number 20 Higgy jersey.
Yeah, 100%. If you were going to buy a jersey, it should
be a good one for sure.
Yeah, 100%. He has been phenomenal.
So, yeah, that was the stress-free game for the most part for the Padres this weekend, which was nice. I remember
given the Darvish presser and the announcement earlier in the day, Tatis on the field, swinging the bat in BP, and then Musgrove returning on a Friday night, making all the plays, striking out all of the batters. The vibes could not have been much higher.
Remember how doomy Friday's show kind of felt? Not because of us, I don't think, but there was just two losses in a row, and just that worry that the Padres season was about to go off the tracks over the weekend. And bouncing back and taking two of the next three against the Mets, I think, is very calming influence on all of us in the Padres fan base. So that was that one on Friday was very important, though. Good performance. Felt like everything was okay in the world, thanks to the guys who got it done, especially because it was Joe being the one who got it done on Friday night.
Yeah. Yeah, it was beautiful, man. Just a beautiful, beautiful, perfect victory at Petco Park on a Friday, which we, like you said, kind of desperately needed, so they quelled some of our fears by absolutely dominating, and I'm just so happy for Joe, the work he's put in, and, you know, hey, man, better late than never for all these guys. Better late than never for you, better late than never for Tatis and Kimmy as well. I mean, come back and help lead this team. That's pretty special.
And I get in the standings, it wasn't really a good weekend for the Padres.
It was fine.
The Dodgers took 2-3 from the Rays. They won yesterday 3-1 on a Mookie Betts 2-run homer in the 8th after Shohei Ohtani got hit by a pitch. So the Padres still 4.5 games behind the Dodgers. And then the Diamondbacks sweep the Red Sox with a 7-5 win. Eugenio Suarez has gotten hot. He had a go-ahead 3-run homer over the Green Monster off one of the light standards. They're now 20-5 in their last 25 games, and they lead the Padres by a game and a half for that first wild card spot. I was listening to some of the MLB network radio stuff this morning on my way in. And they were talking about how a potential Padres-Diamondbacks playoff matchup would probably be the one everybody circles in the first round, the premium wild card matchup. And if the standings hold, it's the Padres in Arizona for a best of three, and the winner would then face the Dodgers in the second round in the division round of the playoffs. And they mentioned it, and I thought this was true. If you're the Dodgers, that's the worst case scenario.
Correct,
because you're getting a division rival that's really familiar with you, one, both of you have, which have knocked you out of the playoffs the last 2 years, and whoever emerges is going to come out of that series hot and confident and feeling like they can win the World Series.
Well, and you've got the season series against the Dodgers already, and you know, no matter what happens.
And the Diamondbacks have played well against the Dodgers also this year.
Yeah, man.
And the, right now the Dodgers, like, it doesn't matter who you get. You're getting the worst option no matter what.
Yeah.
The team that wins that series is coming to L.A. with, like, a truckload of momentum into that playoff series. Now, things can change. You know, the Dodgers may not finish with the best record, and you may be going to Philly or Milwaukee even in that second-round series. Or the Padres may, win the wild card, or the Diamondbacks may win the division, and it all gets mixed up. But right now, that's kind of the course that these teams are on at the moment.
Yeah, and somebody said in the chat, I think it was Elisa, said, we can't control what other teams do. No, I mean, all Mike Schilt and his guys can control is how they play tonight against St. Louis. That's it. 1-0. Just keep going 1-0.
And this week, again, 18-18. You got to get through the next eight, and then you've got a bit of an off-day schedule coming up where you can sort of take at least a quick breath going into the final month of the season.
Yeah, right. Good for them, bad for us, but it's fine.
Yeah. All right, we will come back in season. Sammy will check in on his weekend, just get a brief catch-up with Sam Levitt. Still got a Rondle report coming up and more. Don't go away. It's Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I'm sure it was a lovely wedding that Sam Levitt attended yesterday, but I got the singe of, like, this is the game. I missed this game.
Oh, it's the worst.
This one with Jackson Merrill again. I guess he's seen, you know, half a dozen huge Jackson Merrill.
That's true.
Home runs that have tied or taken a lead already. So what's missing one? But yeah, Sammy wasn't there yesterday, but he was there on Friday, started the weekend, and we usually talk to Sammy on Monday. So
he sent us the picture.
We can talk about Yu Darvish's return and what he had to say on Friday. Get to all that with Sammy right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. All right, joining us right now, the host of the Padres Eco Water SoCal pregame show and postgame show. We will hear from him, I believe, at 3:45. This afternoon, as the Padres get set to start a four-game series in St. Louis against the Cardinals, Sam Levitt joins us here on 97.3 The Fan. Good Monday morning to you, Sammy.
Good morning. I'm off one more day. Scraby's got you.
One more day.
3:45 today.
You were at out-of-town wedding? Where did you go?
Out-of-town. Greetings from and good morning from Atlanta, Georgia, the home of Adam Klug.
Hey.
Good morning. Are they still fired up about Georgia Tech's big win over Florida State on Saturday?
That was huge.
Not one person has mentioned it to me while I've been here, so I guess they're not excited.
Well, you were there on Friday, and during the pregame, when we had heard in the morning that Yu Darvish was returning and that he was going to speak to the media, I think it. 3:45 in the dugout at Petco Park, and I was like, "Oh, bummed! I can't be there, but I'm sure we'll get good coverage." And then you sent the picture, and we were all stunned, like that Yu Darvish would come out wearing a Ben and Woods shirt to his welcome back news conference at Petco Park. Were other people stunned as we were, Sammy?
It's funny. I didn't note anybody having a real discussion about it. I immediately...
Oh, I'm sure there were discussions. I am sure there were discussions about it.
I did immediately notice it, and afterwards when he started talking to the Japanese media, snapped a picture of it. But yeah, how about Yu Darvish in the Ben and Wood shirt, you know? You never know, guys. He could be a big time tier one listening right now. Who knows?
If he is listening, we love you.
Good morning, you.
We love you, you, and we love you, Sammy, for sending that over, man. It made me yelp. Yeah. I audibly yelped in the car, but man. Listen, exactly. Kind of, you always want to win a series. A four gamer is tough, man. Taking three or four from any team is tough, especially a team as tough as the Mets. They have a good team and they've got good players on it, and they're fighting for their lives as well. But really, kind of a perfect scenario. I mean, you know, they don't pick up one inch on you and you cross four games off the list, man. And that's, you move on to the next series.
Yeah. And I think, look, you have to have a bit of a realistic expectation. The Padres have played so incredibly well. And I know at the same time, the Diamondbacks continue to stay that hot, which is just an unbelievable part of this whole thing.
Yep.
As we get into the final month here, but you know, look, I sensed a little, I don't want to say panic, but certainly some concern when they lost on Thursday, and it was two straight losses for the first time in over a month. And my message on the postgame show on Thursday night was, it's baseball. It happens. They're allowed to lose two games in a row. And you're also allowed to split a series against a good team in the Mets that's battling for their playoff lives. So would you like to win three or four, win the series? Absolutely. But I think this time of year, considering where they are, not that catching the Diamondbacks and or the Dodgers isn't important. Of course, it's something you want to do. But I do think you have to stay a little bit, you know, realistic about the course of a baseball season, and splitting a four-game set against a good team in the Mets, that's okay. And now you head to St. Louis and you hope to keep winning there. But, you know, obviously Jackson having the moment yesterday, you're right. You know, I wasn't there for it, but I certainly caught it right when it happened, got the alert on my phone, and it's just the story he's written for himself in his rookie campaign is unbelievable. But all in all, you know, would you have loved to take three or four? Absolutely. But I do think there's a, you know, during the course of a baseball season and in the context of how well they've played, you know, splitting a four-game set against a team that is chasing you is certainly not the end of the world at all.
Sammy, I'm not exactly sure how to phrase this, but with Joe Musgrove's performance, with Yu Darvish set to come back to the rotation, and then presumably Ha-Sung Kim and Fernando Tatis returning soon, obviously that's a huge injection for the San Diego Padres. But it's not a huge injection in a team that's been struggling. You hear that, you know, yeah, I know we're not playing well now, but wait until we get our players back, you know, we'll recover. Padres have been playing well. I'm curious to see what that looks like once all these guys are back and performing, hopefully, you know, at career norm type levels. I mean, where do you see the kind of ceiling here now for the San Diego Padres going forward?
Well, I just think about it from a playoff standpoint, and particularly a starting pitching standpoint. I mean, if you're telling me that, you know, some combination of Cease, King, Darvish, Musgrove, and especially the version of Joe we saw in his last start, if that's what they're rolling with, guys, I think you have to be very, very confident with their situation heading into the postseason. And obviously, Fernando and what he ultimately brings to this lineup and defensively in right field and the strength of their bullpen between the additions of Adam and Scott. And my goodness, Brian Hoeing, you think about a playoff sense. Talk about somebody that could, you know, much like you guys discussed earlier, and again, I didn't follow the game as nearly as closely as I would, but with Martin Perez getting in trouble and then ultimately going to Hoeing, and, you know, having a guy like that who can be that effective and cover multiple innings in sort of those middle inning scenarios could be so important in a playoff scenario. So, you know, I feel the way I think a lot of Padres fans feel right now, and that is that the sky's the limit for this group. And you start to think about what their rotation could be in a playoff series, what they continue to do offensively, and the strength of their bullpen. I mean, you know, to me it feels like they've got about as good of a shot as anybody, and especially we know how this works in the postseason. It can be random. It can be crazy. It's about getting hot, and to me, they have just as much a chance as anybody to get as hot as can be and make a real run at this thing. And, man, the starting pitching, especially if you're going to get that version of Joe and obviously get Yu Darvish back, I think that really changes the equation in a number of respects.
Talking to Sammy Leavitt here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, Sammy, I'm going to take it back a little bit. Ben was out of town. Paulie and I had Tim Flannery in, who was, you know, coached with Bruce Bochy and won three rings in San Francisco. And talking about how Boch always managed the bullpen in October, and he said, man, you take the 4 and 5 starter and you just slide them down. Now, I don't know what that looks like for the San Diego Padres, and not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but you mentioned Brian Hoeing. Talk about, too, I mean, guys, like, the way Martin Perez has competed, if Joe Musgrove goes out there and doesn't have it in a playoff game and Martin Perez can go give you 6, like, and you don't have to use a Brian Hoeing, you know, if Joe can only give you 3, but they're good. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many different options. You wonder, you know, and my heart does go out to the guys that have been scrapping and grinding, but sorry, man, when Tatis comes back, Bryce Johnson's probably gone. And when Ha-Sung Kim comes back, Mason McCoy's probably gone. And that's the nature of this business.
Had that conversation about Waldron last week.
Yeah, and like with Matty Waldron, like, what does that look like? But it's so nice to, I guess, have some options.
Yeah, I think what's really nice about the pitching in particular right now, Woodsy, and we've seen it really, even in the course of this homestand, we saw it a couple of times, like, you know, I'm trying to jog my memory now, you know, or really in the course of the last week and a half, 2 weeks, where it certainly feels, and look, maybe it's the part of the schedule we're now in as well, but it certainly feels like they have a group that is much better suited to quote-unquote chase wins.
Yes.
Right? And in the postseason, that's really important because you're never giving up on a game in the postseason.
No.
Right? You may elect to save an arm if there's three games in a row and you're getting blown out in the first of those three games. Sure. Maybe you elect to save somebody, but you're constantly, you're only chasing wins. It's all about the
win
in the postseason. So it certainly feels like with Hoeing, and if Perez is somebody who ultimately goes to the bullpen when all is said and done, when it's postseason time, like, yeah, between Hoeing and Perez and obviously Adam and Scott and just the length it gives this bullpen to use other guys, like Yuki Matsui to me is somebody who, you know, has been really, really, really good for the most part. And the idea that he could be sort of lower in the pecking order of guys out of the bullpen but still be really effective, it just gives this team the ability to quote-unquote chase wins a lot more. And right now, just regular season-wise, we're in the part of the schedule where you're going to try to do that a lot more. And you guys mentioned it, you know, yesterday, Mike Schilt was much more aggressive, even though they were down in quote-unquote trying to chase the win and give his team, and by the way, an offense that has just time and time again shown a propensity to come back. I think that's a part of it, too, when you have an offense that has shown this ability to rise to the moment, to come back in games. It's a pretty good combination if you compare that with a bullpen that can provide you the ability to chase wins on a pretty consistent basis.
Last thing for me, Sammy, I want to go back to you, Darvish, and the Friday news conference, because the Padres, like any baseball organization, you know, got some strengths and some weaknesses, but it really feels like top to bottom, Mike Schilt, A.J. Preller, handled this situation with Yu Darvish really, really well and supportively. And it sounded like what you had to say backed that up.
Yeah, I think they handled the situation really, really well in respecting, you know, Yu's privacy and keeping it to baseball during the news conference on Friday. And, you know, I thought just all the way around, and this is going back now, you know, a while in the questions that have come up to Mike Schilt throughout the last couple of months about it, I think, you know, it was a really, really fine job by everybody top to bottom. And Yu's back, and, you know, he was ready to come back, and they've, you know, made a plan now for him to eventually join the rotation. And look, I was, you know, really encouraged to read over the weekend, you know, him throwing a simulated game and getting already above 50-plus pitches. You would imagine that return might be pretty soon here. Same thing with Fernando. You know, to see him over the weekend, or I should say late last week, be out there sprinting, taking live BP, to me it did not feel like Fernando was all that far away.
He was taking hacks, too. Like,
it was normal BP. Yeah. To me it looked like a total normal batting practice. So, and it certainly doesn't seem, based on what's been said, like it's going to be a super, super long ramp up, or that there even would be necessarily a rehab assignment of any kind. So to get those guys back, I think in the Darvish case, it was handled really, really well. And it's great to get you back for so many reasons. But again, from a postseason perspective, I mean, that's somebody that, you know, you can hand the ball to, and there's a pretty good chance he's going to go deliver you a really quality outing. So great to have you back, and I'm with you, Ben. I thought handled really well all the way around over the past week or so.
All right, Sammy, safe travels back from Atlanta, and we'll hear you tomorrow, I assume, on the pre- and post-game show.
Yes.
Great.
I'll be back tomorrow for the rest of the way.
All right.
Looking forward
Sam
to it.
Lovett. Yeah, he'll be back tomorrow for the second game of the series. And based on what you said, Yu Darvish. It needs to be pointed out when people do things the right way. And you said that A.J. Preller, when you said, I have a personal situation, I can't travel with the team, A.J. said, it's fine. You're on the injured list. Just stay there. We'll just keep paying you. And he goes, no, I need to go on the restricted list to handle that.
Wow.
And it was AJ did the right thing by supporting his player. You did the honorable thing by going, I'm not 100% invested right now. Just put me on the restricted list.
It's amazing,
man. And I mean, just,
you really just, you do not see that very often.
You don't.
You don't.
You don't. And it was well handled on all sides. And now they're getting Yu Darvish back for the stretch run. And hopefully, you know, the reports on his bullpen session yesterday were good. Like, he looked pretty Yu Darvish-like for his three simulated innings against minor league hitters. Now, that's not major league hitters. That's, you know, there's still a couple of steps left before he comes back to the rotation. But it's reason for optimism that 100%. They could be getting a pretty much Yu Darvish-like Yu Darvish at some point here before the end of September and into October.
Yeah, man, and I want it for him so badly. You know, we don't know what he's been through. Apparently, it was enough to take him away from the team for a while, and whatever it was...
Didn't sound like the players knew what happened. It didn't sound like anybody really knows what was going on.
Just probably him and A.J. Preller, man, and kudos to A.J. for doing the right thing there, and you know, I don't even want to say that's the right thing you, Darvish, did. It was the very honorable thing, as you put it.
All right, Paulie's got a round of report coming up, including what is expected to be some baseball history made today. That's coming up next year on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.